Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. Just to confuse things, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, a slightly different translation from what you have, but you'll be able to follow along, no problems. Mark chapter 16. The next evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene and Salome and Mary, the mother of James, went out and purchased burial spices to put on Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they came to the tomb. On the way, they were discussing who would roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb. But when they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, a very large one, had already been rolled aside. So they entered the tomb. And there on the right sat a young man clothed in a white robe. And the women were startled. But the angel said, "Do not be so surprised. You were looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and give this message to his disciples, including Peter. Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, saying nothing to anyone because they were too frightened to talk. Now it is all ages. If you're a young person, that is kind of young, teenage, young and below, you're welcome to come down and sit down at the front. A number of you are already there, so that's good. But if anyone else wanted to come, you're more than welcome to join us down here. I am going to need a little bit of help in a minute. So, Steve Mills, trying to be an imposter this morning. I think there's some seats out there if you want to see. And Katie Gray. There's some more over here, guys. Put a bench out or two, why not? Everyone's come down this morning. Look at that. Move over there. Get another bench. Keep moving that one up, guys. Keep moving that one up. Whoa, look at them all. Hold it, hold it. Sit tight. It's the express train. Okay, there was a little Easter treat. Oh, we're not again. Okay, yeah, all right, good, good. All right, are we there? We're all there. We're all comfortable. I'm now going to have to move back a bit. That's good. Are you all settled? Whew, that's good, because I now need some help. What do you do on Easter Sunday? What do you get? Easter chocolate. Easter eggs. I haven't got any Easter chocolate. I have got Easter eggs, but they're not chocolate. And I have got 8 scattered around the hall and outside in the foyer. Wait. Hold yourselves. Just hear me. They're not chocolate. They're not real eggs. They're paper-looking ones. But they look like eggs, okay? It's not that confusing. There's 8. Go and find them. You might need to ask at the end of the whole, at the end of rows, you might need to ask people at the end of rows might need to help and point them out. There's 8. There's some in the foyer. Go wild. Now I've got rid of the kids. Let's talk. Yeah, bring it up. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Excellent. Here's one. Thank you. Go, yeah, bring it up. Brilliant. Thanks, Barnes. Oh, they're all coming in. Brilliant. Thanks, Joel. Do feel free to talk amongst yourselves. Get excited. Think how I wish I was a child and could be doing this on Easter Sunday morning. You can play this game at home. Have we checked the end of the rows? Guys, along there, have you seen anywhere? They're all done down there. What about this side down here? There's some up there around Heather. Is there anywhere around you? On the floor and anywhere? No, no. There's three. There's some along the back wall. Anyone on the back wall near Aaron? Brilliant. Bring him down. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Been easier. Okay, guys, once you finish, you do have to come back. Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. Oh, brilliant. How many we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We are all there, all present and correct. The next job is I just need to put them in order. Eggs. Not just any ordinary eggs, because on the back, what do they have? Pictures. And do you know what the pictures were of? Some of the story, exactly. And do you know what I thought we were going to do next? We're going to put them in order. Do you know how we're going to put them in order? We're going to have a quiz. A quiz, okay? Now again, there's a number there, it's all right, but you don't know what the question is. So here we go. I know they're going to be here. I'm going to put them up in pictures in a minute. But here. So you've got to think about the story again, which we read. Okay? Some of these questions are going to be really, really hard. Some are going to be really, really easy. Okay, here's my first question. What time of day did the people go to the tomb?
Morning.
It was morning. Yeah, any particular detail of morning? It was morning. Remember what Mark actually said?
Dawn.
Dawn, that's right. Sunrise. The sun was just rising. Look at that. There we go. Sunrise. And where's my little clicker? It was early in the morning. So that's quite an important detail because it was sunrise. It wasn't dark. They could see. They could see what was happening. They could see what was about to happen. Who went to the tomb? Question number two. No, Tom?
Mary.
Mary, indeed. Mary, that's right. And two other ladies as well. Another lady, Mary, and another lady, called Salome. They went to the tomb. That's right. Here we go. Three ladies going to the tomb. Again, we'll see up here. Here we go. Wow, so here we go. They're at sunrise. We've got three women going to the tomb. Now, if you wanted to make up a story back in Jesus' day, and you wanted to make up a story about Jesus, I'll tell you what you wouldn't do. Back in Jesus' day, you wouldn't have sent women to the tomb. Do you know why? Because back in Jesus' day, if you were in a court of law, women weren't allowed to speak. And no one would have believed what a woman said. You'd only have said to it. So if you were making this story up, you'd have sent men. Because then everyone would have believed what the men said. But no, instead what women went, which kind of says, well, maybe this wasn't made up. Maybe this is true, because why would you put something in like that, knowing that it would be so offensive to many in the time? Something to think about, isn't it? Now, what do these women want to do to Jesus' body? It's a difficult one. Are you there? You there? Yeah. No? Okay. Get it ready. What do they want to put on it? Can you remember?
Spices.
Now, why would you want to put spices and perfume on? Why? What had happened to Jesus?
He died.
He had died. That's right. He had died. So here we have some perfume bottles, spices. It would have been a bit like that. It would have been a kind of a liquid kind of thing you'd have poured over the body to make it smell nice, because it would have begun to smell a little bit having died. Okay? So they thought Jesus was really dead. That he had been crucified. Jesus had really died. That's why they went, didn't they? They didn't go thinking, oh, I wonder if Jesus was alive. let's take him some perfume. No, they thought he was dead. And in fact, what we've read, do you know what it says earlier? That verse 40, Mark says, they had been followers of Jesus, these women, and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. And they had, and many other women, had come out with him to Jerusalem. And in other words, they had been watching, that was at the cross. They were there watching Jesus die on that Friday on the cross. They were there watching. And then we read, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. They saw the tomb where he went. And then on a Sunday, they go with spices because they're convinced Jesus is dead. They don't think for a moment, oh, I wonder if Jesus was a little bit fainted, he wasn't quite well. No, they thought he was absolutely dead. Now, here's a question. What were they worried about as they were walking to the tomb with their spices early in the morning? Guess so. How to get in. Because what was blocking the tomb? What would have been blocking it?
A big stone.
A big stone was blocking it. And here were three women, and they were thinking, how are we going to roll this stone? Where were all the men? Where were all the men? Asleep. They were hiding. They were scared. They were scared, and they were hiding because they thought the Jews and the Jewish authorities and the Romans would come and kill them. So they were hiding. So the women went on their own and they were worried that the tomb wouldn't happen. But what had happened when they got there?
The stone had been rolled away.
Indeed it had. Look at that. The stone had been rolled away. Here's this picture of the big stone. See it up there as well? It had been rolled away. Look how big that is. Can you imagine trying to push that? I'm not even sure I could. And I'm pretty strong. I like to think anyway. Here's a question. They get to the tomb. It's early in the morning. Three women gone to the tomb with their spices to put on Jesus' body because they think he's dead. They're worried about the tomb stone not being open. But they get there and the tomb is open and they go in. And what do they find inside the tomb? An angel. That's right. They find an angel sitting there. Oh, where's my picture? Aaron's beating me. Here we go. An angel. There he is. There's the women with the angel. Mark actually recalls it was a young man dressed in a white robe. And of course, when you hear of the Bible of a young man dressed in a white robe, you think angel. And an angel is a messenger from God. And God normally only sends a messenger when he has something really important to announce. So here they are. What did they not find in the tomb? We're going to go here.
Jesus' body,
that's right. Jesus' body wasn't in the tomb. He was dead, but now, look, there it is. Oh, he is alive. He'd been raised to dead. And we're going to think about what that means in just a minute, about why that is so important that he is alive and what it means for us. But for now, we just need to see that they thought he was dead. They'd gone to bury his body, but now they discover he is, in fact, alive. And what did the angel tell the women then to go and do? Go, Tom.
Tell Jesus' friends that he was alive.
Indeed, go tell Jesus' friends that he was alive. And what did the women do? They went, but they ran terrified and frightened. They left feeling a little bit scared. So what have we seen so far? Did Jesus really die on the cross?
Yes.
That's good. Is Jesus still dead?
No.
Because God had raised him from the dead. So Jesus is alive, but what does it mean for us today? What does it mean for our lives today that Jesus is alive? Here we go. Here's the first thing. It means that Jesus is who he said he was. Jesus is who he said he was. Now, here you go. I want you to imagine, are you with me? You're sitting on a train. You're sitting on a train. You're drinking a Coke. You're listening to your favorite tunes on your iPod. You're just relaxing on the train. The person next to you starts talking to you. Starts asking you about your day, what you're listening to on your iPod. And you start talking to them and you ask them their name. And they say, well, I'm Sid Sloan. Sid from CBeebies. If you're young enough. Or if you're a little bit older, they say, Jessie J. Now, for those of you who don't know Jessie J, she's a pop star. She's on BBC The Voice. She sings a number of very cool tunes. So Abby and Megan told me. So does Simon and Kelly, for that matter. They were just trying to show they were hot. So there you are. You're on the train and you're talking. And they say, hey, and you say, who are you? And they say, hi, I'm Sid, or hi, I'm Jessie. You just don't believe them. You think they're teasing you. And you just kind of laugh and you kind of think, yeah, really funny. You're not really Sid and you're not really Jessie. And you kind of laugh it away, but you keep talking. And train comes into the station and they get off. And the person opposite you says, do you know what? They really were Sid. That really was Jessie. And you go, really? They go, yeah, no, I'm their best mate. And look, here's my pictures of them. And they've got a picture of them with Sid on the CBB set with Mr. Tumble and Justin and all the others. And look, and there's a picture of the other one, best mate, with Jessie. Oh, look, there she is with Tom Jones and the other two dudes from The Voice. Oh, they really are, Jessie, and it really is. And oh, yeah, I'm their best mate. I've grown up. I've really known them. And you look at it and you go, there's the evidence. There's the pictures. Here's the best mate saying. You go, oh, they really were who they say they were. She was who she said she was. He was who he said he was. And in many ways, the resurrection proves that Jesus was who he says he was. The Son of God, the Christ, God's King. In fact, the whole of Mark's Gospel, the book that we've been from where we read from this morning, is written to teach us that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is God's King. Then, in fact, he is God. So we read chapter 1, verse 1 of Mark. We read this. Here begins the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. See, and Jesus has done loads of things that suggest he was from God. And Mark's recorded them for us. So we read that Jesus healed people. And we read that Jesus calms a storm. And we would read that he raised a little girl from the dead. And we read that his disciples even thought that he was the Messiah and God's King. But then he died. And he was killed on a cross. And you can imagine, can't you, what the disciples are thinking on that day. And was he really the one? Was he really the Son of God? Was he really the Christ? Was he really the King? Was he really God? And you can imagine, can't you? Sitting there, Good Friday evening, there they are, all 11 of them, and they're tucking into their hot cross bun going, was he really the one? He died. And they're a little bit scared, thinking, oh no, the Jewish authorities and the Romans, they're going to come and get me as well. Oh, was he really the one? What went wrong? But then, Easter Sunday took place. And the women enter the tomb and they see the place where his body lay and it was gone. And they see an angel, a messenger from God. And just as angels had proclaimed Jesus' birth to shepherds and to Mary, here was an angel now proclaiming not his birth, but that he was alive, that God had raised him. Jesus was dead. Now he's alive. And if he's alive, having been dead, then surely he was who he said he was. Surely he was the Son of God. Surely he was God's King. And the Jesus we think of as the baby in the manger, or the good teacher, or the one who does amazing miracles, or the man who was tragically crucified between two thieves, does in fact belong on the throne of the universe. The resurrection means that Jesus is God's King. He really is the Son of God. He really is God. Which is exactly what Mark, the author of the Gospel, wants us to come to the conclusion of. As we read these events, that Jesus is who he said he was. The resurrection proves it. Who else could he be? And in fact, not only does the resurrection prove who he said he was, but it also proves that Jesus has said what he would, has done what he said he would. Jesus has done what he said he would. Jesus has done what he said he would. Now, here's the thing I want you to think about, okay? Jesus has told his disciples a number of times that he would be mocked and beaten, that he would die, but then he would rise again. He told his disciples that the reason why he would do this is because, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, that he came to serve, that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, he came to pay the punishment that we deserved for disobeying God. He would pay that punishment by dying on the cross. On the cross, he would bear the punishment we rightly deserved. But once having paid that punishment, he would rise again. And then in rising again, it would prove our punishment has been paid for, that he has done what he said he would come to do. By his death, he's paid our ransom. He's paid our punishment and so restored us to a right relationship with God so that we can be friends with God once again. See, the resurrection proves that Jesus has done what he said he would. Let me help you see if you can help you understand what I'm saying. If I told you, right, that I could balance the whole of this body on these two hands, the whole of this, on these two hands, what would you say? Show me. Show me, you're right. I mean, you might look at me and think, very unlikely. There is no way he's going to be able to get all this on these two hands. And and as long as I don't show you, you don't know if I can do what I said I would. I could just be mad. I could just be lying. Or I could actually do it. And you see, as long as Jesus stays in the tomb, we don't know if he can do what he says he can do. We don't know whether actually his death actually paid our punishment. We don't know whether he actually served us by dying. We don't know. He could just be mad. Oh, I've come to die for people. He could just be lying. Oh, my death will make you friends with God again. Or he could have actually done it. Now, if I was to actually right now, at this point, balance this whole body on my hands, you would know that I was not mad, and nor was I a liar. You would know I can do what I said I can do. Do you want to sit?
Yeah.
Two hands. You ready? Here goes. Look at that. The rest of the church can't see, can you? Well, I've been on the stage. Here we go. Thank you very much. Now, you were all expecting a handstand, but I never promised that. I just said on two hands. But I can do what I said I would do. And the fact that Jesus emerged from the tomb, the fact that those women looked in and saw an empty tomb and an angel declares that Jesus is alive, the fact that Jesus has risen shows that we can trust him. That he did what he said he would do. He said he would die and rise again, and in dying pay the punishment that we deserved. And he did what he said he would. His death really did make us friends with God. See, Jesus is alive. And in case we doubt that he's alive, we then discover that he promised his disciples that they would see him. So the night before he died, we read in Mark chapter 14, verse 28, he says to his disciples, "But after I'm raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." And what does the angel command the women to go and do? To go and tell the disciples to go to Galilee and meet Jesus where he told them he would meet them. See, Jesus has done what he said he would. And not only does he appear to those 12, he appears to 500 other believers. And not does he just appear once, but he appears numerous times. And he appears over a period of about 40 days. In other words, Jesus has done what he said he would. He's alive, and we can trust him, and we can trust his death has made it possible for us to be friends with God. And because of him, we now have a whole new future. See, thirdly, and lastly, Jesus means what he promises. The resurrection has changed everything. It's not just that for those who follow Jesus, they gain eternal life in heaven. That is, because Jesus has risen from the dead, all who trust in him and believe in him will also be raised from the dead and living with him forever in heaven. But the resurrection brings about even bigger changes. The eternal destiny of the whole universe is now different. God has kept his promise to his creation. He's made a new start. And being a follower of Jesus means that we are in on God's new start. That we're part of the plan. See, the world is heading towards a day when we too will be raised as Jesus was, when death will be banished and everything will be made brand new. And Jesus' resurrection means it's not just wishful thinking or a nice dream, but reality. It's a bit like seeing the first daffodils of spring. You see the daffs and you know summer is coming. And there may still be some wintry, snowy, cold days. And we know that to be true right now. But when we see the daffodils, we know there's no going back. We know that the year is heading towards summer. That summer is coming. We're not going back to winter. The daffodils mean summer is coming. We're heading in that direction. And the resurrection says that God has started to restore his creation. And he's begun by restoring us through Jesus to being friends with him again. And although there may still be some cold, wintry days to endure, things aren't quite as they should be. There are still wars and there's still famine and there's still persecution and people still get ill. But the resurrection means there is no going back. We're heading towards a day when there will be eternal sunshine in a world made new. In a world where there is no wintry, cold day. A world where there is no pain and no suffering and no death. And those who follow Jesus are not sitting around waiting to leave this world and go to heaven. They're waiting for the King who will come back to his world and make it new. And that means it's not just that the future is different, it means that today is different. For it means that I'm living in light of that hope. The King is coming. And because the King is coming, I'm called to live in light of his coming. Because the King is coming, because of that very real hope, it causes me to live as he would have me now, obeying and listening to him. In that sense, as we've been reading the Gospel Primer, there's a purifying influence on me. See, because the King is coming, and when he does, we'll know fully what it is to be in relationship with him. I yearn and desire intimacy with him now, today. Because the King will come and right all wrongs, I'm called to be just. Justice matters now, today. Because the King will come and bring peace, the way we treat people today matters. Because the King will come and renew his creation, caring for our planet today matters. Waiting for the King means living for the King. And living for the King starts today. It's the gospel shaping me. It's the gospel I need to continually preach to my heart. The King is coming, and I'm called to live in light of his coming. Jesus is alive. Jesus is who he says he is. He's the Son of God and the King of the universe. Jesus has done what he said he would. He served us by dying and so made us friends with God, and the resurrection proves it. And Jesus means what he promises. The resurrection changes everything. Life forever with him. Life living in light of the King coming. Will you trust Jesus is who he says he is? Will you trust Jesus has done what he said he would? Will you trust that Jesus means what he promises? And whether you're young or whether you're old, trusting in Jesus is the most important thing that we can do. To follow the King. Not just so that we gain eternal life, but so that we're living for the King now, so that it changes our lives now. The question is, if you haven't done that, if you haven't ever submitted your life to following the King, then today is a very good day. A very good day to start following the King. The King who is coming. The King who will renew and change this universe. The King who promises eternal life forever is coming. He is alive. He is risen. The question is, will you follow him? Will you submit your life to him? Maybe this morning you're sensing that it would be a good day for you to do just that. And if that is what you want to do, and if you're sensing, hey, yeah, it seems right, I want to follow the King because I believe that he is risen, that he did die for my sins so that I could be friends with God, that I want to spend eternity with him and serve him right now, then you need to pray a prayer. A prayer that says sorry for living your own way. And a prayer that yearns and says, I want to start following you right now. And you can pray that prayer right now in the quietness of your heart. And the moment you do that is the moment you start following the King who is coming. And if you do that, can I suggest you tell a friend or come and have a chat with me or someone else you know who is a Christian. If you're a younger person and you're doing that, have a chat with your parents. They'll be delighted, I can assure you, to have that conversation. Will you trust that Jesus is who he says he is? Will you trust Jesus has done what he said he would? Will you trust that Jesus means what he promises?